On this episode of the Cooligans, man, we break down this Champions League, both the format and the draw.
And we're joined by Cristo Fernandez. What? You may know him as Football is Life's Danny Rojas of Ted Lasso. So we talked to him because, you know, we know there's going to be a Ted Lasso season 4. Mm. Is Danny Rojas a part of it?
He was in studio, too, and he smelled amazing.
That's the most important part.
If you weren't a comedian or doing this podcast, and not like IT stuff either, if you had to have another job in entertainment, what would it be?
In entertainment? That's interesting. I would probably be like a director.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think.
Have you ever directed anything?
I guess yes and no, because I used to like film sketches. I would write them, edit them, direct them to some degree. I haven't worked with like a large cast per se, but 2-3 people here and there. So, and I got a little bit of a knack for it. I really enjoyed it.
That's cool. I think I'd be like, like more of a Jamaican style DJ. You know, like how they're constantly talking on microphone. You know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, this will be a big part of your shtick. Right, clearly.
It would be essential. I feel like I make a good DJ. I think people would be like, yo, he talks a lot, but he plays good music.
Sure. I mean, look, I've been to parties where you got the aux, and I think you do a pretty good job. You have a
thank you.
You have a certain your taste in music is something that is, you listen to it and it's like Alexis is DJing right now. Where you just know
it's a lot of booty music going on in this room right now.
Booty music. There's a trap theme.
Yeah.
Reggaeton.
Yeah.
But it
elicits a little fear.
Fear
and good time.
Exactly. Well, your style, like I enjoy like music that might be a little bit more
of a message attached.
A little bit more intellectual.
I almost hate that.
Because I enjoy the music you enjoy, but enjoy the music I enjoy.
Oh, yeah, no, yours is more varied. Mine is more within a niche.
Right. It's like you know, you would think based on the music you like that you are a big fan of the Second Amendment, right?
100%. But I'm not.
But yeah, he's not.
No.
It's all theater.
Right, yeah.
For Alexis.
More of a free speech to talk about those types of things that may or may not have happened to you and your collection of friends. No one's incriminating themselves here today.
Exactly. No snitches here.
Yeah, no. We got no snitches out here, bro.
Okay. We just have Jamaican-style DJs.
Put your hands up if you're having a good time and you ain't a snitch. You see what I'm saying? I think I would have done a good job, bro.
Okay, you know, snitches, raise your arms up. Yeah. And then I said, we got you. You know, we got you.
Right. Got him right where we want him, boys.
Welcome to the Cooligans.
If you came in here with a snitch and they gone, hold up their credit card. There we go. Free drinks on them.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Out here on sports.
Of course. The crowd goes wild.
I see the crowd. They're daggering right now, bro. They're going crazy. They love what we're doing. Okay. We're so excited to be here. We have an incredible show today.
This is a crazy
because
one.
Not only are we talking the Champions League draw, a lot of transfer. Ooh. The deadline day is tomorrow.
Who is Everton going to play?
Everybody wants to know.
The questions that need answered.
Okay. Who's Strasbourg signing? But no, we are joined. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Cristo Fernandez. You may know him as Danny Rojas.
What? Cooligans is life, bro.
From Ted Lasso. Cooligans is life. Football is life. Jamaican DJs is life. Yeah,
that's right. Pondy River, Pondy Bank is life.
So we'll be talking to him because we did hear the news that there will be a fourth season of Ted Lasso.
Ooh, hey, so we had to bring the homie on.
Danny, what's up?
He's got a really cool commercial coming out. So we talked to him about that.
Yeah, he's going to be, you know, working with a little Patrick Mahomes and Jake from State Farm. So we'll talk about
He calls him Patrick Mahomie. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
Wow, that's your boy right there. Okay. Yeah. Carter is very upset that I said that.
And we're joined by producer Carter, who has a microphone.
Yes. Hopefully everyone can hear me this
hopefully
time around.
This has been a complaint. We can't hear Carter, but I think it's just been a distance issue. As far as with the microphone, but now that's it. It is close to your face.
Oh yeah, as close as possible. Here we go.
It's got to be over. It's right upon him. Okay, all right.
Damn, buy him a drink first.
All right. So let's start with the Champions League draw that happened yes. a little earlier today. We'll start with the draw because also the Champions League format, the UEFA Champions League format is very different than we're used to. We used to having the groups of four,
right?
Home
we were
and away.
All like, what's the group of death?
What's you the know? Group of death? And now then, the whole table is the group of death.
Un revolu is what this whole thing is. It's actually, I think there's some negative and positive, right? Mm-hmm. I tend to find this a bit more exciting. There's something, it feels refreshed, you know?
This allows...
Like a lady got a new haircut, you know? Okay, I don't even know who I'm touching, you know?
I didn't know I was on Tinder. What is this about?
Wait till my wife found out.
So we'll give a quick breakdown of what the format is like this time around.
Yeah, so we used to remember that it was a group of, it was a 32, mm-hmm. and they would be split into groups of four. That's all over.
Correct.
So the draw today that we just saw, that did not pull teams into groups. It pulled them into a large, they already are in a league, right?
Right.
What this did was it automated what their schedule is.
Correct. So, and just...
at least what the teams are competing against is. The schedule technically hasn't been set.
Correct. Yeah, so, and just to clarify, it went from 32 teams to 36
what
now.
Did I say?
You didn't mention that at
okay,
all.
Okay, 36.
I'm just mentioning that there are four more teams now yes. In the Champions League.
We've expanded it.
Exactly. And now that they... So they have the pot, each pot, so let's say pot one. Pot one picks the first nine teams.
Yes.
And then... The computers decided
all. Yeah, all these computers.
The computers are Putin.
Yeah, okay? Computers Putin. Cameron hits the button and he says pause. Okay. And then everyone's like, should we stop? He's like, no, it's just another thing.
Right.
So just so you know, look, all right. So there's 1 through 36. That is the table. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you can see it here, 25 through 36. So if you finish 25 or below, you are automatically eliminated from the Champions League. There's no more drop downs. You do not drop down. No one will go. You can drop down and get your eagle on, but you cannot drop down into Europa. You know, in fact, whoa, I want to see it. If you're seeing this image on the screen, if you're watching instead of listening, this is simply by alphabetical order. So don't worry, fans of Young Boys. Now, I just realized Young Boys should not be dropping down and getting an eagle on. That's a team, BSC. So... 25 or below. So 25 to 36, you're out. You're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves 1 through 24. The top eight automatically qualify for the quarterfinals. So they move on. There is a bracket before that.
Not the quarterfinals, because that is eight teams. It is round of 16. Not quarters. Looking.
Yeah, because the other.
You're right.
The
that
other,
is the round yeah. of 16. My bad. Oh, sorry, yes. I was looking at the wrong thing on my uh-huh. phone here. So they automatically qualify for the round of 16. But before that, everyone who finished 9th through 24th, they have to fight it out in a their own round to see who qualifies.
In the octagon.
That's right. Eight teams enter. One man leaves. So 9 through 24 will play in their own sort of round, home and away, yep. traditional bracket. The winners, the losers will be eliminated along with the 25 through 36. The winners move on to play 1 through 8. So 1 through 8 will be situated in their own little... waiting for an opponent each.
Right.
So that is how you get to the round of 16. The winners of that then move on to the quarterfinals, semifinals, and then the final is single elimination. So it's still home and away in each of those rounds
mm-hmm.
until you get to the final, and then you have the one-off final like we've always had.
Exactly.
So, look, I know people complain about this being a big change. They've let so many more teams in. But because of the structure, there's only a chance you'll play two more games than you would have before had mm-hmm. you got to the final.
Yeah.
And that is if you finished 9 through 24... And then you have to play in that additional round, home and away.
Correct.
So if you're one of the top eight,
yeah.
which odds are one of the top teams that probably play in multiple competitions across their domestic league, they're playing the exact same amount if they reach the final.
Correct, yeah.
So there's no additional. I mean, it does seem so much more overwhelming because of how the way this is structured.
Yeah.
But really, at the end of the day, all this did was take out group play.
Yeah, I think my only initial thing that I feel weird about...
Trepidation?
Yeah, it's just like... You know, even though, you know, the original was like picking the pots, picking the balls out of the pots. And there was always the like, do they warm the balls up to figure out who's in there? So whatever. So there was at least a little bit of like mystery to, or it felt a little bit more random of like what the group stages were going to look like and what the groups were going to be. And now it's just the computer part is what makes me uncomfortable.
Because
it's just like, all right, wait.
This is a lot more mystery because you don't know what's going to.
It is, but then this is like.
Cristiano Ronaldo hit the big button and then like names started popping up. It felt a little like a casino.
A casino, like New York Lottery, Yolanda Vega, hitting the thing, spinning the thing.
I'm Cristiano Ronaldo. Just all the OG New Yorkers who got that joke.
So the fact that it's computers now makes it feel like can the computers be influenced in any way? And look, that's my.
Well, there's what is it? Is it JP Morgan or something? Or there's people who are overseeing this process to make sure that it is
algorithms
fully randomized.
Yeah, you hope. I hope it is. Whatever. But you know.
Well, if you look at Arsenal's draw, so we'll start there, right?
Sure.
So they hit the. So Arsenal's in pot two. The way pot one works is previous winners of this of European competition were prioritized for pot one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Paris Saint-Germain, Leipzig, and...
PSG has never
won
it.
No. PSG, Leipzig, and there's one other that have never won it. Maybe it's just those two.
Okay.
That have never won European competition before, that based on the coefficient, were the first two to fill in the rest of the spots in pot one, and then everyone else in pot two, which is where Arsenal are. If you look at their teams they're playing, the first few you're going to hear are the tough ones. And then it gets, I don't want to say easier, but... you know, less of your major teams.
Sure. And also, this is not the schedule.
Not the schedule. This is simply the teams are playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they will play at home against PSG. Mm-hmm. They will go away to Inter Milan. Okay. Very difficult games, right? Then they play at home to Shakhtar Donetsk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they go away to Atalanta. All right. You know, then they play at home to Dinamo Zagreb. Very nice. And then they go away to Sporting Club Portugal. Did knock him out of the Euros 2 years ago or a year ago.
Uh-huh.
But all right, you know. And then they play at home to Monaco. Nice. And then they go away to Girona.
Yeah.
Hey, this is actually not that bad. So if you did think that there was any, you know, wrongdoing with the way the schedule is picked, I'm assuming the guy's an Arsenal fan. This is a pretty...
This is a fairly
comfortable...
Competitive.
What's the word I'm looking for? It's not easy.
Well, it's difficult to...
Forgiving. It's a forgiving
It's
schedule.
Difficult to even have a... There's no group of death. It's just like...
It is.
Schedule of death? How would you describe
it? The randomization of death? But if you look at... Let's look at like Real Madrid, right?
Yeah.
It's probably a team a lot of people are looking for. You're going to start off... Well, not start off, but you have a home match against Dortmund, an away match against Liverpool. That's a huge... Real Madrid going to Anfield. Massive match.
Yes. Again, this is not the schedule. It's not the
this
order.
It's not the order.
But you have these games.
These games are going to happen.
In your schedule, yeah.
Then, they will also, Real Madrid will also play in AC Milan, which is huge. Okay, Christian Pulisic going to Santiago Bernabeu.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully he's, obviously fit for that match. They go
he's
away.
Taken care. He scored against them before.
Yeah, baby. Go away to Atalanta. It's a big game for Atalanta. You got Real Madrid coming. Mm-hmm. Then you got Red Bull Salzburg. Rest in peace. Okay, you got Real Madrid
already,
coming by.
Already wrote the obituary.
Bro, you got to bet on that one. They go away to Lille.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big match for Lille. They play at home to Stuttgart. And they go away to Brest.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said it a little too casually, bro. Yeah.
Nice. They get some breasts on the road.
Oh, they're playing Nice as well?
Yeah. Yes, and these breasts right there.
Okay. So
that match ends 0-0, just stop me from making the joke. I dare you.
No, please. Please don't. So the one thing here.
Why is the right one bigger than the left
look,
one?
Look, the schedule.
Zeros. I'm talking about the 0-0.
The schedules can seem a little overwhelming and because we are used to groups of four, home and away.
I think the thing that's frustrating people is the randomization of it.
You're right. But the main thing here...
Because look, if you're whatever, Leverkusen goes away to Feyenoord, they don't get Feyenoord back at their stadium.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So does it... So this stage of the Champions League, like before in the group stage, it felt a little bit more balanced and fair because you are playing home and away. You are you're only facing three other teams.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of like these are the best teams in the group, and we've determined which two were the better ones.
Also, remember, in that era, it was the top two in each group would qualify to move on.
Mm-hmm.
In this, you just have to beat your teams, the teams in, that you're going to face, well enough to finish in the top eight.
Yeah. Yeah,
because there isn't a balanced schedule. This is basically MLS.
This is basically they took our model word for word, bar for bar, bro. They took this is Dre.
Damn. Okay. UEFA.
They took this is ours.
This is our ting, bro.
So this is my main question is this going to change how tactically teams prepare for Champions League?
Because now they have to decide, do I want to win the Supporters Shield or do I want to go for the cup?
Okay.
No, I do think, because we talked about this a little bit off camera, but you don't really get, unless you've won every match and everyone else is struggling a little bit, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You don't really get a week off. You don't get a match day off. So you can't like send the kids, and not that anyone would really do that, but there were times where like match day four, or was it match day six? What is it? Eight? What was the one? The final one?
Match day six.
Match day six.
A lot of teams would already have.
A lot of teams have already qualified. The level of competition is not the best. And now here's something different. Match day eight for this, which would be the final match day.
Yeah.
All the games are happening all at the same time.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's going to be mayhem. And now since no one can really take a night off, you don't know who's going to fall where. Imagine you're, you know, simply, you're in 15th place, but you're only 2 points away from eighth.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
I feel bad for, Nico on Golazo.
Dude, I was actually talking to him. That's how I know this.
Like, oh, my God.
I said, bro, all three of the live walls at the studio is going to be different matches. Like, I don't even know what's happening anymore.
We got to go. We got to go here.
Goals are everywhere.
So it is going to lead to much more madness, like you said, on match day eight. I don't know. I guess the thing is it going to still feel like... I wonder how different the results look. Because we know you have a group of death. You have Real Madrid and Man City in the same group. Whatever the other two teams are, you know that there is going to be a nightmare for them to get out of that group. But you get the occasional surprise team that makes it into the knockout rounds. Is this going to happen again? Like, are we gonna still get some of that excitement? And I guess the easy answer to that is probably yes, because if the top teams are not even playing in that round, so that there are these playoffs for the teams to get into the round of 16, it will clearly lead to a few more unexpected results.
So here's the thing that I think is significant. Now, this is based on a graph in the Champions League, the UEFA Champions League website. There's an image where, if you notice, the first eight teams that qualify automatically, they essentially get a bye, right?
Yes.
The first eight teams. Notice they're all the away teams on that first round in the round of 16.
Okay.
If that is the case, maybe that's just the image itself, but if that's the case, think of the momentum a team, like, let's say, let's just pick Benfica randomly. Benfica finished between, let's say they finished 11th in 11th place. So now they have to go into that additional round,
mm-hmm.
that knockout round, right? They win that. The momentum they're going to be carrying into the next match home versus a team that is just,
had
a significant amount of time off in this competition, not completely. You would assume that little bit of leverage may create some big upsets in that first match.
Possibly,
That the bounce back match is going to have to be like a lot of these big teams now at home having to be like, oh, now we got to make some major moves here. Now we got to beat this team by two or three goals, you know?
Okay, yeah. So it feels at the very least like that.
It seems like there's more opportunity for excitement in this format.
Well, it feels more than anything like the round of that playoff.
Yeah, that single, that two-game elimination.
Yeah. That feels like they are trying to create that excitement.
That's the murder round.
That's going to be like a crazy.
Yeah, that's where everything's on the line.
Teams
here are
closer from the team that is at the top of that table.
Yeah.
To the bottom the gap probably isn't that far.
Sure.
As far as quality. And
think about it, some big teams may be stuck in that area.
Totally, totally.
And
yeah.
I think that's going to offer a lot of opportunity for excitement. I also think the fight to get in, to get out of like the bottom, what is it, the bottom 12, 20? to get 24 or above to get in that position, yeah. that's sort of right there. Like that fight for that is going to be huge. Think of that as almost like the promotion relegation, the relegation line, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. 25 or below, you're out of the competition. Again, there's no drop down. You don't get to go to Europa. You don't get to be like, ah, well, at least we have this other competition. We dropped down. That's done. So if you are whatever, Slovan Bratislava, and you happen to be right on that border and you're going up against a big club, let's say like a Lille, you're going to go all out to try to win because you want to stay in this competition, right? As long as possible. That's going to offer up a lot. Maybe even that position between, say, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that range, trying to get out of that knockoff playoff. Give your players a break. You don't want to be the ones that have to play two extra games. Think about how expensive these players are, plus PSR and some of these rules. You can't really go out and just get the deepest bench in the world. That's going to offer up a lot of opportunity. And then I think exactly what you said, 9 through 24, that's going to be a bloodbath, man. That battle is going to be huge.
Real quick, I mean, just quick thoughts. Who do you think is like fit for this tournament? And who do you think is like, you know, as far as like the bigger teams? Because like my first thought, I don't think Barcelona is making...
They look pretty good with Dani Olmo, though.
Yeah, I don't... But they always have a terrible time in Champions
League. Also, did you know that Dani Olmo's only registered until December?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he's only registered through the end of the year.
Lovely. Okay, bro, they better figure something out.
I don't know.
They were only able to register him because another player got hurt.
Yeah. Christensen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. They
have to hope Christensen stays injured longer, which is ridiculous.
We talked about it, a week ago or something? And a lot of the comments are basically Real Madrid fans being like, couldn't be my club.
Yeah, damn. Sorry, bro. pay your credit card bill, my G. I think Real Madrid probably will suffer. Of the large clubs, will suffer the most because of this format, because I don't think they're as deep as a Manchester City, who is perfectly built for a competition like this and to fight across. Remember what England teams have to do. Not only do they play through the winter months, they have, four competitions they're going to be in, right? They're going to be in the league. They're going to be in Carabao Cup. They're going to be in FA Cup. They're going to be in Champions League. They don't take a break through the winter months. So they are going to be playing matches on Boxing Day and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to have to play in this. You need to be super deep. You see teams like Arsenal going out and getting players. They're like, why are you buying a starting level player when you already have a start in that position? Not just to create competition and training, but bruh, you got to tool up. You know what I mean? You got to get some bodies in there.
Yeah.
So this is, I think, going to be a place where you see teams like Manchester City, who essentially have two 11s.
Yeah. There's also this weird with Manchester City that there's like, this year with the trial happening, Pep just being like, I don't care. He's like, I'm done winning. Yeah.
I did everything I could.
I feel like they're going to win Champions League out of boredom. You know, they're just like, fine, I'll do this again.
Sure. So I already broke the record in Premier League.
We'll see how passionate they are about it. All right, let's get to our conversation with Christo Fernandez. Well, we have a lot to discuss. Ted Lasso. Patrick Mahomes.
Bro, we're talking to Danny Rojas. Bro.
Danny Rojas is on this show studio, not just on a Zoom call or whatever. Okay, so.
And thank you to State Farm for bringing him over here. It was really cool.
Jake brought him himself.
Yeah, dude, Jake's a great guy. Who knew he was also an Uber driver? Man, that guy's got a lot of jobs.
So here it is. It's our conversation with Christo Fernandez.
Oh, look who's here.
Look who's here. They were like, hey, get somebody as handsome as the Cooligan.
And they couldn't find him. But they found this guy hanging out outside. Dude, Cristo, thank you so much for being in studio for the first time.
Muchas gracias. And thank you to all our Cooligans fans out there.
Look at this. It's the three of us. That's what it should be. What it should have been.
I love the college brochure that we just made.
Yeah, exactly. That multi-state national food chain advertisement that we just made.
We're hiring.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're here on behalf of State Farm, which is really cool. You got a brand new campaign.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Have you guys watched it?
Yes, we did. And I think the fun part is watching you as Danny Rojas on Ted Lasso, and now this character is basically a household name.
It's like Marvel, right? Like you're jumping into the other universes.
Multiverse.
The State Farm universe now includes Danny Rojas, which is great.
Yes. No, it was fun, and any opportunity to be back and play Danny Rojas, it's a dream come true. And
oh, say loud for the seats in the back.
Yeah, put that button there.
That was the applause button.
The applauses. Yeah. we had such a great time, and it was of course a dream to meet Patrick Mahomes.
What's he like in real life? Because you got to film with him. He seems like a very chill guy in general.
He is very chill. He's very zen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For a guy who has 400-pound people chasing him all day,
yes,
you would imagine he wouldn't be that relaxed, yes, but he is.
Yes. No, he's super cool, super nice guy. Also, Kevin, who plays Jake from State Farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were all very nice. We had so much fun. The director, Jake Szymanski, I loved what he created with the State Farm team and the idea And I watched the commercials they previously did. So I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. This is going to be cool. And again, it's a dream. I'm very grateful with the passion fans have with Ted Lasso, with Danny Rojas, what Danny has meant to all of them. And I hope a little bit of that positivity, good vibes, feeling that they've gotten throughout the years with Ted Lasso, they also get it with our commercial, which... to me, it was fun, and so I love football, soccer, playing it, but I love challenges, and as we can see, with that crazy ball there.
When they first
showed me that crazy ball, I was like, are you serious?
So go look, go watch the
ad. It does look a little haunted.
If you haven't, this is a ball, holding it makes me a little uncomfortable. There's something about...
This is the one. This is the one ball. One of one.
Yeah. We've created something unique, a new sport.
Very much so.
So if you are, if you're just listening, I'm holding a soccer ball and like an NFL football.
Yeah.
Merged it looks into like, one.
It looks like if you like a rugby ball and a soccer ball came together and then went on vacation in America.
Yeah.
Okay. And also the panels make it kind of look like a baseball diamond. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. It's like a fabulous idea. And it's one of those things of like, why hasn't this been done before? Why hasn't some like demented mind tried to merge these two balls? And no, but State Farm got to it first.
It is very Tim Burton-ish, right?
Yeah, and then you can see in the commercial, when you score something, is it a goal or a point?
Yeah. So
maybe people can decide what it is.
This is good.
But
this
imagine
is...
when they told me like, so you're going to dribble and do crazy things with this. And I was like, what? So I played with it. And a fun story as well is that I managed to do some cool stuff with it. And then Patrick was like, oh, I'm impressed.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
And then he gave me a high five and things. And I was like, I'll take it.
Yeah, that's got to be cool. I've never impressed Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Because this is, this is a ball that's easier to kick than easier to throw. You know what I mean?
Or pass.
Right. It's built probably more for a footballer than... Yeah. An NFL
thank
footballer.
God, thank God for that.
This is good corporate merch, though. I don't know if any of the State Farm folks can hear us.
We got the
good
audience
corporate merch.
And this is also
there's a lot of suits behind the cameras.
Watching Ted Lasso, and then also obviously watching the commercial. You see that the ability, the skill, the football, the technical ability has not gone anywhere, has it?
Yeah, put some respect on your name. People may not have heard this in a while. You used to play pro.
Yeah. That was a dream. And I played football soccer my whole life since I was a kid. And then when I was 15, professional. And then that was the only thing I wanted to do. But then I had an injury. I was 19. I recovered from it. Wasn't the same. Then I played in Mexico in a team called Estudiantes Tecos of Guadalajara. For the ones that are in Mexico or know something, Pony Ruiz was a very good Chilean football soccer player. He was in the team. I didn't make the debut in first division, but I played second. And I tried to get back, played in other teams. And then we were talking, you now that are wearing the Puerto Rican. I was trying to jump at the Puerto Rican league so that I could make it to the second league in America, because there are some Puerto Rico Islander you had there.
Yeah, Puerto Rico
like
Islanders. Yeah.
And short story is that things didn't work out at the end. And then I discovered new passions when my parents convinced me, for the love of God, por el amor de Dios, study something. And I was like, okay. So I started communication, and then that's where I discovered film, acting, a little bit of theater. And that's the first time I ever did anything that I liked aside from football, soccer.
Yeah.
And when I graduated, I saved money for 3 years working in many things. Funny enough, life insurances.
Really? Yeah. Like you're preparing for this spot your
obviously
whole life.
Not a competitor. It's
no, part. Not at all.
That you would never.
No. It was in Latin America, so it was called Estate Farm.
Los Estate Farms. Yeah.
It's just the E in the front. It's really.
And then I saved money. I went to study my master in acting in the UK. And that's how, that's a short story of how a Mexican guy like me ends up in the UK where Ted Lasso gets cast. And the story is that everything happens for a reason, and I would have never imagined that football soccer was going to give me my new opportunities in what I love.
I love
now.
It. It opened other doors. I do love the idea of a Latin mom, who we both have.
Yeah, yeah.
You telling you, hey, enough with this. You gotta get your life straight. You gotta get a real job, and you go acting. And you're like, no, I don't think you heard me. No. Oye, la factoría. You know?
No, my parents retired lawyer. My mother a psychologist. So they just told me, please study something.
Yeah, get a safety net.
And there's like I've always seen this like trend, and you know, amongst Latinos, and then but with Mexicans, there's a more specific like I've seen. Like second generation or first generation Mexicans in the United States say like that there's a disconnect when the kids may be depressed or may not know what to do with their lives and that the advice, and this is a very specific Mexican thing, they say like that the parents say, ponte pilas, right? Anytime there's a problem, anytime you're sad, it's like, no, it's not, you don't need therapy, it's just ponte pilas.
Yeah. Or échale ganas.
Échale ganas.
But if you're American, it's like busy people don't complain. So go go do something.
Which is true, but I just think ponte pilas, échale ganas. It always has to come with, and we are in Latin America. We grow up with faith, you know, like we always believe, and things like that. But you cannot just échale ganas, ponte pilas. You have to do actions. You have to do, actions. And I think that's what something my parents taught me is like, leave, échale ganas, but always with actions. And that's why to them was like, study something. And I think that's what I've put from my sports years and my experience in sports is like believing in repetition, in discipline, and in the process. And if you watch my first videos where I wanted to act or create my films, they were all but you know, you have to F up and then be better. And that's sports. You fail. Sometimes you lose, but there's always another game.
Right.
And there's
always
a chance.
Opportunities,
right? There's always a chance to be better. And I've for all the ones that are out there and don't know what to do with, or maybe they feel like whatever they're doing is what am I doing with my life? I felt that when I played football, soccer, but everything you do in life helps you for the next thing. It's just you don't. Sometimes I have no idea. Sometimes and sometimes I speak with people that are in the business or in any and they are successful and they know everything, but they tell me I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So it's good for us mortals to know that we don't know what we're doing, but. Yeah,
I think that's the biggest shock when, you know, a child becomes an adult. You realize like, wait, they didn't know what they were doing this whole time? Yeah. And they were giving me advice?
Right. Yeah.
But ponte pilas.
Yeah, ponte pilas. Because I don't have anything else to tell you besides go get batteries, bro.
So we've been obviously talking about Ted Lasso and how, you know, your character has really just become a part of.
Let's not forget how much light it brought us during a very dark time in our country.
Exactly.
Or in the world, really.
Without a doubt. But now, how convenient that you're on the show when the news maybe 2 days ago that there will be a season 4 of Ted Lasso. So obviously we wouldn't be doing our jobs if you didn't ask the question. Is Danny,
is our favorite character
Danny, thank you. Is Danny Ross, is he coming back to Ted Lasso for season 4?
Yeah, that's been in my life the last 3 days.
We gotta let you borrow it.
I've been asking myself the same question.
You wake up, you look in the mirror.
I wake up and I see myself in the mirror.
holding this
yeah.
ball, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. look, I read the article too. I can tell you that I, more than anything, I am a fan too. I love the show. I'm forever grateful with Ted Lasso, with the fans, with Jason, Joe, Brendan, Bill, and all the writers for giving me the opportunity to be part of it. And just like it was a dream come true to do this campaign for State Farm because I had the chance to be Danny Rojas again.
Right.
I would love to be Danny Rojas many more times. And I am excited. There's more to the last. I want to be part of it. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That would very be a cool. dream.
All right.
Well, we got to make that.
I mean, I don't know exactly what we can
look,
do.
Look at your phone. Do we have anyone? But let the fans
yeah, yeah. I mean, look, Ted Lasso, I mean, honestly, Ted Lasso is not Ted Lasso without Danny Rojas in it. So I don't see, you know, there's no way they're skipping you. I don't care what the storyline is. You're in there somehow.
I completely agree.
But again, at the end of the day, Ted Lasso has become something bigger than all of us. The show, I think it's more than Danny Rojas and Roy Kent, that even Ted Lasso himself, I think it's the vibe, it's the Lasso way. And I just know that whatever
you said Lasso way, like W-A-Y or like a Mexican?
It's the Lasso way.
It's the Lasso way.
No, you entiendo, hermano. You entiendo. Yeah.
No, yo sé. Canal. Canal. Yo te entiendo, canal.
Canal is the Lasso way. No sé, way.
I'm just making sure which one you meant.
That was good.
Yes. And I know they're going to take and make the right decisions. And I know if there's more Ted Lasso in whatever way they want to create it way. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. So I'm just looking forward and I'm excited.
Very cool. All right. Well, hopefully you don't need our help, but we will try to make that happen.
Thank you.
Because we love the character just as much as we love it in the commercial. So at least we still get to see it in the State Farm commercial, which is really cool.
All right. I want to toss a couple fan questions. We have our dedicated...
Our Patreon.
Gully Squad is their name. That's our... supporters group.
Okay.
So we got a couple questions from our fans. So I want to start with this one. This is from Jenna Broom. She asked the question, which episode was your favorite to film and which was the most difficult?
Which one was my favorite?
Favorite and most challenging.
My favorite. My favorite. Okay.
It's tough to pick a favorite.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, because I don't want to repeat myself, but my most memorable personal moment was when I first came on the show because of everything, right?
Right.
But I think probably not many people have talked about, there's a scene in season 3 where I think that's somehow the spirit of the show and Ted Lasso and Jason and Joe Brendan. And it's like, there's a scene where every single one of the football soccer players have a line where they say something. And it's not just us, the cast. It's also the ones that were like the extras. And I think we've all grown with Ted Lasso. There were people that were extras and became cast members. And there were behind scenes people that were runners. And by season 3, there were first ADs and people that were in catering and became part of the production designer. I think that's the spirit of a show. I don't think in other shows you can see people evolving together as a show evolves and it grows. And that was a cool moment to see Jason coming up with ideas and also throwing lines and see what worked, what doesn't, and everyone tells us a line. And I love that moment in the show. That was very cool.
Oh, that's kind of beautiful.
That was a great moment, yes.
Yeah.
And challenging personally for me, I always say that the maybe when Danny hits the dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see why that would be challenging.
That would be a tough
one,
yeah, because that is a difficult, you know, there's that screenwriting book, Save the Cat, which is like basically the philosophy.
Script writing, yes.
The script writing. So it's like the idea essentially is that if there's an animal that is hurt in any way or saved in any way, like it makes a character, it defines a character.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting thing, especially early on in the show, to have that thing that could have, people could have hated you in some weird way. Easily.
Well, there were some fans that wrote the why did you kill a dog?
Yeah. No, dude, why? as comedians.
But I say no.
No animals were hurt.
Yeah, you're like, I'm Cristo.
You know? As comedians, like Jesus?
Yeah. As comedians, you can say whatever you want on stage. You can make fun of your own mother, other people's mothers. You can make fun of babies. You can do whatever you want. Yes. You say anything negative about a dog on stage and the audience is done with you. Yes. You'll never win them back. It's crazy how there's emotion. Yeah, so as an actor, I can see how you're like, you sure you need to put this
then,
in the script?
And then reading the script I was reading and... Wait, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shouldn't laugh.
Yeah. Do we have to? Do I have to do
that? Can we have Roy? When the ball goes, the dog is there. Cut to just me, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and the sound was. it's tough. Yeah. I can see why that would be tough.
Another one. What was what's the funniest or most unexpected thing that's happened to you on the set of Ted Lasso? That came from Matt Haney.
What's the funniest
or unexpected, most unexpected
that happened on set?
The funniest.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot.
Or unexpected, yes. In the show there was all the time constant improv.
Yeah,
sure.
I think the challenge was to not laugh, and you as comedians can understand me.
It's tough.
Yes, it's tough. Everyone's so funny, so that was tough.
Was there anyone who was unexpectedly funny from the cast that you're like, whoa, I didn't know you had those chops?
I always say Jeremy Swift, who plays Higgins, he's funny without trying to be funny. He's just, it's because all of us, I think we were so close to our characters because the writers were intelligent enough. And I learned that to create characters around the actors. And create so that they feel more alive and real. And there's so much of us in our characters. And that's why I think people grow so much empathy towards them.
I see that because you're smiling now. you are a little bit, you have that Danny Rojas. Because wasn't it true that when you auditioned, it was like an evil character, right? It was like a mean character.
My first audition was Danny Rojas initially. He was supposed to be the asshole of the show.
Really?
So there was no Jamie Tartt.
So you were the one that everyone hated.
So I auditioned, I made Danny Rojas an asshole because that was the audition. And they loved the tape. But because everything changes in Ted Lasso all the time, even now, we don't know, but that's fun.
Not yet.
That's fun and exciting.
I'd love to announce that I am playing Danny Ross in the next season 14.
Yeah. Actually, I just got a text. Actually, I'm playing Danny Ross.
Look at I can't believe I lost that gig.
That's how fast that happened, dude.
But they decided that there was not a Latino character anymore. It was going to be a British dude. They created Jamie Tartt. So there was no Danny Rojas. My role, Danny Rojas, was Gunnar. He was an Icelandic man. Ah. So they probably try and cast an Icelandic man, and thank God they didn't find an Icelandic man.
What?
Thank God. Shouts to those Icelandic actors who were not available.
What's Icelandic Hollywood like? What's going on over there?
It's probably one street.
and then they just kept my tape there, and they just liked me, and then... Gunnar had to have good football soccer skills, and thank God they created, they built Danny Rojas around this Icelandic charismatic guy, and then made it. Yeah, they gave me the role, and I'm grateful.
That's awesome. I love it. Okay, and last question. This is from MJ Lee, who is our sort of soccer mom.
Yeah,
she's a soccer mom of our fan base.
What's her name?
Her name is MJ Lee.
MJ.
And she asked, this made me laugh so much. She said, why was Danny Rojas a two-woman man?
Mm.
What?
Why? Answer for that, Cristo. She also asked, what was that your idea / request? Because that was one line in a kind of a throwaway line of just that Danny Rojas, has a lot of women in his life.
Two ladies.
That sound has been forever. Right? I actually appreciate MJ for asking this question, like so many Ted Lasso questions all the time, and it's always around the same questions. Like,
sure, yeah.
Football is life. Yes.
Yeah.
It's actually a great question, and I would love to explore that. What I can tell you is that the two girlfriends we see Danny in season one are the same we see with him in season three.
Ooh.
You love a loyal man.
Also. Just a committed throuple.
The commitment, the love. And look, a lot, you know, relationships may look different from what we find, you know, are more traditional.
My take is that love is love.
Yeah.
In so many different ways of, and I'm not anyone to judge. I just think Danny's a lovable man.
He has a lot to
love.
And
so here's my question then. Yeah. One, where do you get the energy to be so happy? And where do you just get the energy? If the Danny Rose character is both a professional footballer and has two ladies.
It seems like a lot of work.
But again, our show is around, and an important thing to mention is that it's so many messages and mental health, but most importantly, also toxic masculinity.
Yeah, like, yes, true.
Like, so I don't think by any means Danny is a macho, because he's not a macho. So for everyone out there thinking that, it's not. I think it's a lovable man. It's a three.
Machismo out of the two.
It's a three people relationship I will take.
I like it.
I love
like
it.
It's good spinning. Ted Lasso doesn't work. It's new, I'm new, going to politics.
New years, new
year, new year, me,
new generations, new times.
More new year, new us.
Yeah, you know what I mean, Gen Z love is different, bro.
No, and actually, I think that's a great. It's a good question that I appreciate, and I just want to make a big shout to the two actresses that play them. It's Santa Ocina and Antoinette de Jong. And yeah, I think we'd love to explore more about that, right?
She added this question as well, which it's a bit more serious, but I think it's given you also have a production company, yes, right? And so she asked the question, what kind of Hispanic stories would you like to see on Apple TV or maybe anywhere? I mean, we could all probably participate in this, but is that something that you think about?
I'm developing my film company with my sister Paloma.
Okay.
Thank you. It's called Espectro MX Films. We have right now two Finnish indie feature films, both of them shot in Guadalajara, Mexico. One titled Sisters, the other one titled Corina. And what we are focusing, I think, right now is we love multicultural stories, real life dramas with touches of comedy. Comedy, always comedy.
Yeah, and we love comedy.
And hopefully there's more soon. We have another one we wrap, which should come out as well. Una Pequeña Confusión in cinemas in Mexico this year. Corina will come and Sisters will be out next year. And hopefully soon as well, more things in America. But yeah, I like multicultural stories because I think the world we're living right now, it's not just, there's so much multiculturality. It's like me being in London and like, who would have thought?
Ted Lasso is a great example.
It's a cornucopia of nationalities.
Not just Americans and Latinos, but British and then African,
you know, Middle Eastern, everything.
And all those stories get to be a part of the show, which is which is great. All right, awesome. Cool. We want to do something fun.
It's short size
and different.
One pager.
So we're gonna
okay.
Just to set this up. We're going to read a scene that ChatGPT wrote about that includes us in some hypothetical scene of Ted Lasso.
It's not necessarily Ted Lasso. It's just a team in South London that you all currently play for. Now, your two friends, a Cuban-American and a Dominican-American from New York, have joined the team.
Nice.
And you are a little bit worried about it.
You're also players in the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah. So, unfortunately for you. The team has gone downhill if I'm in it.
I'm gonna give you the sides right now. let me just read the to set up the scene. So here goes. It says...
You want to read there? Uh-huh.
I'm gonna hand it to you. I'm just gonna set up the scene. So it says Danny is pacing back and forth in the lobby, glancing at the door. The facility is clean and modern, with team banners hanging on the walls. The door opens, and in walk Christian and Alexis. Christian is thin with glasses, perched on his nose, holding a tablet and a backpack full of gadgets. Alexis is carrying a fast food bag and looks wide-eyed and full of energy. Danny takes a deep breath, puts on a smile, and approaches them. Okay. So you so you have what this scene is about, and obviously you're Danny, and you can start reading.
I think you have the first line.
We have not seen this, so we're all reading this for the first time.
Okay. Danny. Hey, welcome to Richmond, boys. You made it one piece. And brought your gear too, huh?
This place is like Hogwarts for athletes. The architecture, the atmosphere. Not that I read Harry Potter or anything.
Man, I hope they got something to eat around here. I'm starving.
Well, Alexis, you're definitely in for a change. No room service here. Richmond isn't Manhattan. Things are a bit quieter.
Quiet?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Is that some fancy English word?
Does that mean everyone whispers? Is there a decibel limit?
Something like that. You're in the land of please and thank you now. And Alexis, the trainer mentioned you might need to trim down a bit for the season, if you know what I mean.
What? I thought I was here to play soccer, not star in some weight loss commercial.
Maybe it's like a game quest. Lose 5 pounds, gain 5 speed points.
Hey, I've got plenty of speed. I just, you know, need to carry a little bit extra fuel.
And Christian, you've got a different quest. The trainer wants you to bulk up a bit.
Bulk up? Mm. Me? But I'm aerodynamic.
Yeah, bro. You might want to hit the gym, okay? Start lifting something other than that tablet.
Yeah, think of it like building your own armor. Bulk up, get stronger. It's like upgrading your character stats.
I guess I could start a new routine, protein shakes, weightlifting, maybe even a new training montage. But can I still keep my brain sharp? No, need to be ready for those tactical plays.
You can keep the brain power. Just add some muscle to back it up. Richmond might be quiet, but the games won't be. We need you at your best, okay?
Yeah, and don't worry, bro. I'll share my extra calories with you. Maybe we'll both hit that sweet spot, huh?
Deal. Just don't expect me to eat any of that grease you're carrying.
And that wasn't too bad.
It wasn't that bad.
There's some good things.
Yeah, that's not making it discreet
anytime
soon. Also,
why am I the biggest virgin in the world?
Yo. Also, why am I holding a bag of fast food and then asking if there's food? That's mad disrespectful.
I love it. Okay, I mean, we know there's a lot of issues and obviously debates with AI should not be used in scripts and stuff like that. We all know that.
We all agree.
We support the writers. But there was an interesting gentle tone with how ChatGPT decided to call you fat and how fat we wanted to describe you.
It also did it very quickly. If you notice, like, get in, get out. It talked about you bulking up a lot more. It was like, hey, man, you need to lose weight. My character was like, yeah, sure. And they're like, all right.
No,
talk to the skinny guy now.
No emotion. Really? You know what? My feelings are not hurt.
Yeah, I agree with you, Danny character.
I am skinny. I love gadgets. It sounds like those, you know, those characters in those CBS shows that are like the nerdy... get him to hack the mainframe.
That was you.
That was me in that.
I also love that you have a backpack full of gadgets.
I of course have gadgets.
Yeah, okay. Do you have a backpack full of gadgets?
Well, my background is in IT. I went to school for computer science. I'm one day I'll kiss a girl.
Yeah,
Crystal, I can't wait.
Let's just say when we got this studio, we were like, how do we get the internet? And he was like, I can build Ethernet wires.
See those wires on the ground?
I made
all those wires. Oh, wow. Yeah, those
the rest of us just buy them at the store. He made them.
Well,
so I don't think you will kiss a girl. You know, I just think it's not going to happen.
Not again. Okay, yeah. My my 1 year old son is gonna wonder how how he was made.
The magic of science. Dude, thank you so much,
Chris,
for being
this
on
has
show,
been the best, man. I want to make sure everybody go check out the State Farm commercial, because again, it's really, really funny and super entertaining. And
you can look it up. It's called Bundle Is Life, right? I'm sure they can find
right.
it.
We saw it on YouTube, and I'm sure it'll be on TV during some you know, sporting event.
Yes, right. Soon this weekend. It's coming out with the NFL start of the season.
Woo! Okay,
so yeah. I hope people like it, and thank you for watching.
Love
Very
it.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Because as much as we love football, football is quite popular in this country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why this is perfect. We're, right.
Have you picked up? Have you picked up an NFL team?
Like the most.
Have you picked up an NFL team?
So I've been living most of my time recently in LA.
Uh huh.
So I became a huge Chargers fan, and beautiful stadium. It's gonna be a World Cup stadium.
Of course, yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
And yeah, that's it. But I also have friends in San Francisco, and then I saw the 49ers.
Yeah.
But then I met Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I feel like go with Patrick Mahomes. You know?
He seems to be in a good trajectory. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been a Giants fan my whole life. If I met Patrick Mahomes, I'd suddenly be a Chiefs fan.
Christo, thank you so much for joining us. Seriously. And then, look, I'm hoping we see you, you know, in Ted Lasso season 4. That'd be, you know, it'll make a lot of people very, very happy. But this has been really, really dope. And I'm so grateful that you came by to hang out with us a little bit. So, gracias, hermano.
Well, gracias. Muchísimas gracias.
Of course, man.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being
many more.
Man, Cooligans is life. Say, you got to say Cooligans is life.
Cooligans is life, amigos.
Hey, let's go.
Vamos.
Yeah. That's like this one.
Oh, well, okay.
Do it. This one. Oh, well.
Shout out to Cristo.
What a great dude. Great interview.
Great interview. Great. I mean, just literally, we just did it again.
So good, dude. Shouts to us, bro.
But go check out on our Instagram, because I think we should by tomorrow have the... We did a juggling. We juggled with that ball.
With the ball from the commercial, which is half an American football, half a soccer ball.
It was the trippiest thing.
Yeah, it's pretty haunted. Not going to lie to you.
It was weird as hell. But we got to juggle that ball. I got to juggle that ball with Christo.
No, we did. The Cooligans did it.
The Cooligans,
collectively. You did it for us.
Yeah. I was the representative. Yeah. I was the ambassador for Cooligans in that segment. So go check that out on our Instagram. Okay. We got a brand new segment.
Oh, yeah.
Today. Because we're going to be talking about...
new segments.
The transfer deadline is tomorrow. And this gives an opportunity to just react to some of the transfers that have happened. Carter is going to lead us in this. We're going to take 90 seconds to talk about any transfers that have happened, any big names, even though there might still be some big moves that happen by tomorrow. But... we have 90 seconds for each name, and we'll give our reactions to, you know, what we think of how the movie's going to go. So, Carter, lead the way.
When you hear the bell, Alexis, that means you're done, all right?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know why you're talking to me. Okay.
When you hear the police sirens, Alexis, that's it.
Oh, now that would work.
All right. So, the first one here, we're going to get started on us. Tanner Tessman leaving Venezia to go to Olympic Lyon.
This is big for America.
This is big. Okay, so obviously the American midfielder who played at the Olympics, got Venezia up back to Serie A. Mm-hmm.
It was a standard bearer for that club. One of their best players. This is huge. He wanted to move on. He thought the time was right. It was a chance he was going to go to Inter. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out. Fiorentina came in. You know, once one club comes in, everyone's like, why they want that? Why? I'll want them too.
Wait, what's up?
Yeah. Lyon came with that money. That voila. You feel me?
That helps a little bit. Yeah. But no, Tanner Tessman is an interesting type of player. A midfielder that Americans, we don't necessarily produce. Alabama boy.
Yeah.
Tall. Okay, a unit.
You been drinking milk? That's a big boy right there.
Okay, not that 2% stuff.
Damn, that's that whole milk. Right from the cow's titty, bro.
Correct.
You might want to pasteurize that.
He gets it straight from the source.
Damn. He's farmed the table, folks. Minus the table.
So I'm excited for the move because I think he's developed a lot as a player, not only in his ability, but his confidence. So it's great to see. I think he's going to do well in Ligue 1.
Yeah, he's techie enough and he's good enough that they paid a certain amount of money, so he'll start. And that makes me excited. He's going to start next to Ainsley Maitland-Niles. Remember
okay,
him from Arsenal?
Yeah. Okay.
Formerly of Arsenal.
Well, no. You know, I mean, everybody has gone through the Arsenal. It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, damn, bro. He's saying you dotty.
All right, who's up next?
All right, up next here, Napoli making a double move, Romelu Lukaku and Scott McTominay.
Okay.
One of those names stands out as a bit of a surprise.
One of those names has had nearly $400 million in transfer fees, and the other guy is Scott McTominay.
Yeah. I don't know how the Scots do in Southern Italy. This seems like the exact opposite.
I like the, because I feel like for the, I don't know, I feel like the past 10, 15 years, we didn't see many English players going abroad.
Well, no, he's Scottish.
British. You're British. You know what I mean? Yeah. Apologies for all those I've offended.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen players from the UK play abroad that wasn't really like maybe Bundesliga. There's a certain thing of like, if I can't make it in England, then I don't even want to play at all.
Well, remember last year, Bologna, like they all of a sudden started real hot. Thiago Motta's got them playing crazy. And you look at him and you're like, Ferguson?
Yeah.
Well, how'd he get in that midfield, bro? You mean Ferguson? You know, he must be like an Italian guy. So Scott McTominay, I'm excited. What I like most about Scott McTominay is he's a defensive player, right? Kind of defensive minded, but he knows how to get forward, make that late run, get a header on the ball, maybe take a shot. At one point, he was Manchester United's best scorer last year. Not part of the plan, but that's how it played out. Him under Antonio Conte, that's going to be exciting.
It's going to be interesting because it does feel like McTominay was a little bit disrespected, not really much appreciated, but Manchester United have really not been good.
I want to hear, you know, arrivederci in his accent.
Learn the language, Scott.
All right, next here we got Manuel Ugarte going to Manchester United.
Okay.
This is smart, young, aggressive player.
Mm.
I like it.
What is he? What was the line that he said? That when we have the ball, it's something. When we don't have the ball, it's war or something like that?
No, when we have the ball, it's a match. When we don't have the ball, it's war.
Yeah. So
I like that.
So maybe it's nice to kind of have that energy for Manchester United. There's... I had seen, I think it was Good Vibes John. Shout out to Good Vibes John, who is my Manchester United resource recently, especially.
He's American flex.
Exactly. I'm sure he's going to love that. but just pointing out, I think he was talking about Jadon Sancho and like how much the jump in pay from going to Dortmund to Manchester United. And you just see, when you look at how much the individual players at Manchester United get paid, it is it's unreal. So it's like when they get paid so much, even Scott McTominay and all these guys, when they get paid that kind of money and they under deliver and just underwhelm.
It's got to break your heart.
Exactly. So it's like players like Ugarte talking like that, there's something to like, I'm not here to just collect
the
paycheck.
He's Uruguayan, right?
He is Uruguayan.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's going to give it his all.
Exactly.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Although I will say, could you imagine if someone gave you $100,000 and then next week they did it again?
There's something when you start making money and you start being like, I feel like I tricked you. I don't do that. I shouldn't be getting this.
I've never felt that way. I've never once felt that way. Put that on record.
All right. Next is Federico Chiesa leaving Juventus to go to Liverpool.
Do me a favor. Look up how old Federico Chiesa is.
Let's do that.
How old would you say?
He has to be 28. 26.
He is 26.
Oh, he got an older face.
He got a real old face. He has a stressed face. He has a Nona face. The reason I bring that up is people talk about him like he's done.
Right.
Like, yo, he was good, but bro, he ain't got it. He's 26 years old. We haven't even seen this man's peak. Would they pay 13 million for this guy?
It was a bargain. I saw a thing.
That's practically free if you Liverpool.
He had gotten in 2017 or something like that. He had gotten Juventus had gotten an offer of 84 million for him. And now they wanted to keep him at the time. And look how much they sell him for.
That is not how you balance the books.
My little bit of regret there.
Look what Benfica did with Darwin Nunez. They rated him at 55 million. Liverpool came in and said 100, and they're like, "Well, damn, sold! Oh my god, hurry up!"
Yeah, what? There was a whole story behind it, right?
Where they didn't pop champagne. No, they offered 85, and the front office was like, "For him?
Yeah."
They're like, "Yo, ask him for 100, see if they'll actually do it." And they did, and they did.
Love it. I saw Chiesa had mentioned that his dad told him he told his dad that he's got the offer from Liverpool. He was like, "Take it. That's your dream." But I think apparently he was told he's not part of the plans at Juve. So
that sucks. Yeah. Take a moat, bro.
What do we got next?
All right, your last one, Jadon Sancho exploring options outside of Manchester United. Where should he go?
Okay, I think he should take the FC Cincinnati Weston McKennie deal.
That was on the table, so why not, right?
Yo, Jadon, we know you got that money, bro.
Jadon at FC Cincinnati would be crazy, bro. Wild. Just the streets of Ohio. Yeah.
He's like, y'all put what on pasta? And y'all call us crazy?
I don't know where he's going to end
up. Yeah, I hope he does get a move.
There's a couple things. So I've heard Chelsea, obviously Juve, and also Saudi.
I think his wages make it very difficult for a lot of clubs to sign him.
That is the problem.
So he might have to renegotiate. Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he just wants to sit back and let Manchester United pay him, because that's what it is. But I hope he does get a move, because I think we saw at Dortmund, man, he still got it.
Yeah.
He still got something.
Without a doubt. I mean, he throughout the Champions League, the matches that he played in, and you know, even in the final, even though they lost, he still has a lot of quality. Yeah. They couldn't figure it out at Manchester United. Obviously, the issues with Ten Hag. I don't know what the best place for him to end up, but I think the best place is where he just has a good relationship with the coach, and they'll just let him.
Or he feels loved.
Yeah, let him rock a little bit. Let him have a good time, because he is at a kind of a player that needs that leash can't be that short. He needs to have a little bit more.
Yeah, he can't feel suffocated. You know,
and Manchester United, you felt like he was.
It's a toxic girlfriend. You know what I mean? She's looking through your phone. She don't trust you. She's like, "Yo, who's Teddy?" And you're like, "It's him right here, bro." There's not a girl under this, bro. He's literally here.
Yeah, dude. So I hope. I think it'll work out. But yeah, it's Jadon. He'll be fine. All right.
What else do we got? That was
that's it. That's the last one.
Come on.
Shout out to Carter. Nope. I saw the levels moving there, so people heard you. Okay.
Or did they?
So we'll see it, and we'll get a couple tweets about it. All right. We should wrap up there. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in.
Let's give a little rest in peace.
Yeah, this is kind of a really, really sad and tragic and kind of crazy story, but a player.
For Club Nacional in Uruguay, which is the big rival to Peñarol, which is what my family is.
So he was playing in Copa Libertadores last week, and Juan,
I believe in Brazil, if I'm not mistaken.
In Brazil, yeah, Juan Izquierdo, and he collapsed on the field, and it obviously echoes and feels very, very similar to what we saw like with Christian Eriksen,
Fabrice Muamba.
So, but we see those stories and they're like scary. But we see
Mike Lockyer from Luton as well. But there's usually a positive outcome. This unfortunately did not happen.
Yeah, he did not recover.
I believe it was a heart arrhythmia. Mm-hmm. He collapsed. There was another player who grabbed his leg and started praying right away. Scary scenes.
Very, very tragic. So, we just wanted to send our condolences. I mean, unfortunately, this is something we've seen in the game and it happens in sports.
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's just, and it's really frustrating. But like, look, athletes are pushing their bodies to the limits, and they're monitored nonstop. But does it mean that you can't go for one more check? If you have the means to do it, please go get yourself checked so that this doesn't happen to you.
Yeah. So RIP Juan Izquierdo, and all condolences to friends and family. Obviously a very, very tragic story. So and as always, obviously, thank you so much everybody for tuning in. We appreciate a shout out again to Christo Fernandez for coming through. Very much means a lot, especially when guests come from far away and join us in studio. And I'm hoping we see him in Ted Lasso as well.
Yeah,
That'd be really dope.
Seriously, comment, tweet, whenever you see a Ted Lasso thing, make sure you ask for Danny Rojas.
Yeah,
because he's such a great character.
Yeah, it'd be crazy to not have him back. All right, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooling is on all socials. Subscribe here on YouTube if you're watching there. Subscribe to the podcast and let a friend or family member know that you love this podcast and you think they should check it out.
Okay? Oh yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on we're off for Labor Day.
We're off for Labor Day, so we'll see you next Thursday.
See you next Thursday. So enjoy the holiday weekend if you're in the U.S. And yeah, so we'll see you next week. Cheers, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.